Let's first of all just see where we've been over the last few weeks in terms of fellowship. A little while ago, it was about relationship. That's the foundation of our fellowship, our relationship with God. And then last week, we thought about partnership, which was the means. And today, it's companionship, the method. And then next week, stewardship. So the key to companionship is the word communication. So this is what's at the heart of fellowship in relation to companionship. And I want us to think particularly in two areas, they're the obvious areas, of the vertical and the horizontal. Our communication with God and our communication with one another. So I'll talk more briefly about our communication with God. Let's just look at this first of all then. Communication with God. I want to touch on four areas in particular. They are well-rehearsed ones in the main, but they do bear repetition. So the first way is through the Word of God. My question is, are you reading God's Word? If I was to ask, what passage of Scripture have you read this week, leading up to Sunday? Have some of us not opened our Bibles since last Sunday? That may be the case. If we're wanting to communicate with God, then looking at Scripture is a big ingredient for that. Some of us use Word for Today, and there's a page that we might read. Good. I personally think that we can do better than that. You might think I'm going to be a hard taskmaster this morning. I am. Because I think this understanding of communication with God and communication with each other is so fundamental to our church having that unity that we've just been singing about. So through the Word of God. Then secondly, through prayer. Is personal prayer a regular part of your life? Do you have a pattern which you follow? You might say, I do find it hard to say prayers. I'm not too sure what to pray. Well, that's okay. There are books of prayers that you can use. You can use other people's words. And you can make them your own as you share them with God. But what's fundamental is that we're praying. And then thirdly is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Do you ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit? The Christian life can only be lived effectively through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. There is no other way to live this Christian life. Are you putting yourself regularly in a worship setting where the Holy Spirit can refill you and refuel you? Do you wait on Him? And then the one that we've just been reading about in John 15, abiding in the Lord. Jesus said, remain in me, abide in me. John 15 is a wonderful chapter which opens out this principle very clearly. If you're not reading anything in Scripture at the moment and you want some guidance, then maybe today or sometime this week, look at John 15 and meditate upon it. It will speak to you. It will speak very loudly about our connectedness to God. So we're thinking about companionship, and the first aspect is the vertical. Our communication with God Himself. He loves to share with us, to speak to us, and to hear from us as well. And then our communication with fellow believers. Apparently, a Greek writer in the second century, who was an unbeliever, said that when he observed the fellowship of Christians, he said this, It's incredible to see the fervour with which the people of that religion help each other in their wants. They spare nothing. Their first leader, Jesus, has put it into their heads that they are brothers and sisters. I wonder what comments the average person might make about our church here. Maybe they don't know us well enough to make a comment. Maybe they're too removed from us. But hopefully there are some who look on to the relationships that we have with one another. And they say good things about us rather than the opposite. So I'll list a number of ways that our communication can happen. I'm going to mention three ways in particular. And then I'm going to say two or three things about what needs to be happening in the heart of those three ways. Perhaps you can tick them up as I go through. The first one is about meeting together as a whole body. Meeting together as a whole body. Now, we never do that as a church here. Our church is too small, and so inevitably we have different services. But we do endeavour, for as many of us as possible, to be together on as many occasions as is possible. What does it say about the first Christians? They devoted themselves to fellowship. And Hebrews 10:25 reminds us, do not forsake the habit of meeting together. Now, it is possible to have a very low priority of meeting together. What can I do about this? I'm just going to press on, Joanna, because it's obviously playing up a little bit this morning. Sorry about that. Some of us have a very low priority of meeting together. We might have higher aspirations, so we might want to meet in other ways rather than in coming to church on a Sunday morning. Now, we only meet for 75 minutes, usually. Hour and a quarter. And there are some of us who don't always make it on time. I have a little register. No, I don't. I don't need the register. I've got the video camera. No. It's only 75 minutes. Not long. You watch a film for an hour and a half or 2 hours. You make sure you start it. If it's interrupted, you'll go back a little bit to see what you missed. It's only 75 minutes for most of us. It's quite good to be there on time. It's an encouragement to those of us who are at the front if we're on time. Actually, at the second service, when we start the 11:15 service, it's half full. 5 minutes later, it's usually full. It's only 75 minutes. So you can see I'm going to have a bit of go at the second time round. Maybe more than this one. But that's one thing. But what about getting here? What about getting here? I was brought up to try and be there every Sunday if I could. Deathbed permitting. But there are some of us that think, oh, well, I went last week. I won't bother go this week. Don't think it's good enough personally. Not to neglect the habit of meeting together as a whole congregation. This helps us, meeting with different age groups, to know to whom we belong. We don't just belong to ourselves, but we belong to a wider company of people as well. And I suppose it also translates to trying to do things with the wider church when it's possible. We only have so much time, but when it's possible to do things with the wider church. I was very blessed by our church when we had that In It Together in the football stadium. I was on holiday at the time, actually, but I heard that, you know, we probably made up over 10% of the congregation, maybe more of that congregation. That's good. We're showing that we want to belong to something that's bigger or set up here. The second thing is meeting in smaller groups. Meeting in smaller groups. The early Christians broke bread in each other's homes. Apparently, it's true that whenever there is spiritual awakening, the first thing that happens is that people start to gather in small groups again. Well, we don't have to wait for the awakening or revival. We can do it before that. We can see the value of meeting in smaller groups now. Paul writes to Timothy, "And the things which you have heard me say, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." We do give emphasis as a church here to smaller groups. I suppose the two main ones are home groups and what we now call COGs. But there are other units within our church of smaller groups as well. And it's the place where we can find our identity a little more. In a larger church, it can be too big for us, and we might be just, who are we? But in a smaller group, then we have some greater knowledge of one another. Do you belong to a small group? And then the third one is meeting one-to-one. Meeting one-to-one. Fellowship with one or two other people can be so encouraging. It might be a prayer partnership, or maybe a prayer triplet. I understand that the men at Faith now are where people give themselves will divide into smaller triplets so they can be supportive and pray for one another. Paul says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. So those three areas, one-to-one, small group, larger congregation. It's the way that we are demonstrating our companionship together. But what are we doing when we meet in these ways? What are we doing when we meet in these ways? Well, three things to say, and then I'm finished. First of all, we are sharing and communicating truth together and building up one another. We've mentioned those verses already. Paul says, I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So when we meet together, we are sharing truth with one another. We're building one another up. We're causing each other to be strong in Christ together. That's why we do it. We're also sharing together in worship. And this includes a number of things. It means the Lord's Supper, the singing of hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, prayer, the ministry of the word. So as we come to these times, we don't have to be a large gathering of people to do that. We can do that in smaller gatherings as well, where those ingredients I've just mentioned are central to what's taking place. And then thirdly, we are sharing together as partners. We're sharing our needs and our burdens and our concerns and our joys and our blessings. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are to trust the Lord to get us through. He needs to be the main strength of our life. But until we get to heaven, we will also need other people to bear our burdens. Just before I came out this morning, my wife asked me twice, are you going to be all right this morning? Actually, she doesn't usually ask me that question. She might ask me during the week or have talked about Sunday. But I think she was probably thinking, this is an important Sunday. This is an important Sunday to see what's happening in the nation and respond to that. And I could see that she was trying to say, I'm with you in this. Do we use that sort of language with one another? Because we need to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the Lord of Christ. If you're self-obsessed, this will be a nonsense statement I'm making to you. Because you'll be just so inward looking, wanting your own needs met, that you'll never think about somebody else in that way. But right at the heart of our Christian life is that we are together. And we're trying to build one another up and share the burdens that people have. Some of our burdens are incredibly heavy. Some of you are carrying really heavy burdens. Have you shared them with anybody? Have you tried to share the load? Or have you kept it to yourself? Sometimes pride makes us keep these things to ourselves. Apparently, during the Second World War, the enemy worked out that the best way to get information out of prisoners was to put them in solitary confinement. And if you left the man in solitary confinement for a few days, usually at the end of that, he just spurted it all out, information that they wanted to hear. Why? Because he'd been in solitary confinement. He hadn't anybody else saying to him, hold your nerve, be strong, you need to hold to truth on this one. But as soon as people start to separate themselves off and get in another place, away from fellowship, away from good people that have always helped us in the past, then we quickly topple. We quickly give in to temptation because we don't have the support of one another. Over these weeks, we're thinking about fellowship. And today, it's companionship. And companionship works itself out in two directions. First of all, vertical, in relation to God. And then horizontal, each other.